Thank you, Dan. Thank you, everybody, for smiling. I need that. I'm going to ask a favor of you, though. I don't know what to title my sermon, so maybe when we're done, somebody could help me fill this out so that... I mean, I can write it down. I can do that part, but I may need a little help titling my sermon tonight. I have to say that, not hopefully like you, but I'm sure like all of us, we often struggle. We often find ourselves in those times in our life when we're looking for an answer and it just doesn't seem to come around. Or it seems like we're up against the wall every time we go at a task. I really have to admit that I felt that way for, a little while. It hasn't been a bad thing. I haven't been struggling. I haven't been, up against any major trials or anything. I've just felt, I just haven't really felt that leading spirit. I felt the spirit amongst us as we've gathered, as we've had activities and things, but in my personal life, I just haven't felt that leading. And I hope that none of you have ever suffered anything like that, but maybe you have. And for me, I often reflect on different things, and I came about this time to find myself in Ecclesiastes. All right, we're gonna go through the whole book of Ecclesiastes tonight. All right, the whole book, absolutely. No, I kind of abridged some things. I won't make you guys listen to me read the whole thing. I do have some reading to do tonight, though, so bear with me. Two of my favorite authors in the Bible, Paul and Solomon. I find that most generally in everyday life, one of those two writers has an answer that I can go to, and it helps me get over the hump that I'm facing. Ecclesiastes 1, first verse. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And to the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is what which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see this is new. It hath been already of old time which was before. There is no remembrance of the former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. You know, when I read this, it might be a little confusing, and there's other parts of Ecclesiastes that are even harder to understand because of the these and the thous and the, But here we have this preacher, the son of David. This is King Solomon. And he's basically saying everything is just vain. It's worthless. He said, you know, he's making a statement. There's cycles to everything. Look, the sun rises in the east, it sets in the west, and it hurries up, and it's back in the east, and it goes, and it just keeps doing that over and over. The rivers run to the seas, and the ocean isn't full. We're not flooded because the water from the rivers is filling the oceans and flooding our lands. What happens to it? Well, God's created a way for the vapors to rise and fall again, and the river continues. He's saying there are cycles to things. He's saying that trials, temptations, the things that man does and the things that man desires, they're the same as man who came before him. The desires and trials and things that we face now are the same as they were years ago and may happen again in the future. What's the one thing we say that many people try to do? They try and change our history. They try and change things so that we forget what they think is bad. History is history. It happened, and we should know what happened so that we don't repeat ourselves. But too many times, we don't remember those things. We don't want to remember the bad things. And therefore, it cycles again. It recycles. Look at that. We're recyclers. Verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. These are the works that man goes about to do. These are the works that we decide, our plan, our wants, our desires, those things here on earth. And he says they're worthless, and they're troubling. Verse 16. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So here's a great man. Here's a wealthy man. I mean, he was king. You just assume that a king is wealthy, right? But he mindfully put himself in a position where he says, I've gained much wisdom, but I'm also going to taste of the madness and the folly, the foolishness, and the lack of wisdom, the lack of good wisdom. He put himself there, and he admits that. He says, this is what I've done, this is what I'm going to do. He's making the statement that anyone... Too often we esteem someone of stature. How do we place them in that status quo? Oftentimes we do it by their wealth, correct? I read this and I see this and think to myself, here's a great man, a man of status. And he has the same temptations I do. He has the same worries that I do. He has the same struggles that I do. It doesn't matter that he's wealthy. He has the same problems that I do. Chapter 2. I said in mine heart, Go to now, I will prove thee mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. That word mirth, it's merriment. I read it, thought I knew what it meant. I'm thinking mirth, it's, you know, a spice or a drink or something, you know, that makes you feel good. It's not. It's not an actual potion, a liquor. It's nothing like that. It's just a way to describe merriment, happiness, exuberant laughter. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their lives. He's like, I'm going to see what drinking wine does. I'm assuming the way he wrote this, he means because of the word folly, because of the lack of good wisdom, he's going to overindulge in the wine. To find out why man, those men who find themselves drinking wine all day long, what does it profit them? I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He's gone out of his way to grow his property to a point that it's greater than his own father David had. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labors, and this was my portion of all my labor. Now tell me, here's a man of status, and he is growing his properties. And he says he's taking joy in that. And now he says, that's my portion. And this was my portion of all my labor, to have joy in those things. So keep that in mind. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Here we are. He's a man who's, let's just say in today's terminology, he's a wealthy man. He likes things. He likes to acquire things. He's allowed himself to become a partier. He's drinking wine in excess to find out what everyone else has. He's made this great production of everything. And his wisdom. the knowledge that he's been given, those things that he knows from before, are like a light bulb that come on. He's like, wait, I have all these things. I've labored so hard. Can you picture a king laboring? I bet his finger's worn out. Hey, go do that. Go do that. No. No, but really. He's saying, I've worked so hard at gathering all of these things together. And what for? Now I'm troubled. What's my successor going to do? And that's the statement he makes. In 14, he says, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also the one event happeneth to them all. He's coming to the realization that he has all these things, and he's put forth all of this work to gain all of these things in great numbers. And all of a sudden he realizes that, wow, you know, those foolish people sitting around drinking wine all day, and me that has all these things, the same thing is going to happen to both of us. We're both going to pass. We're both going to die. What do they say? There's two things in the world you can count on: death and taxes. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are. In the end, the rich man dies, the poor man dies, and everyone between. That cycle, as individuals, ends. But there's another that comes after us. And that's who he saw. That's what he's saying here. He's like, I'm doing all this. Why? What's the guy behind me going to do? He's going to go, oh, wow, this is cool. I got all this stuff to start with. No. Remember earlier he said that wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Think about that. Why would that be? Think about that. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come and come shall all be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So reading this, I get a hint of confusion and depression, the madness and the folly. Don't get me wrong, it's good to laugh. It's healthy to laugh, right? When we talk about this madness and this folly, this lack of good wisdom and the mirth, it brings back thoughts of those times before I knew my Savior. Those times when I was a heathen, I guess you would say. I was in the world. The world led me. The world taught me. The world fed me. The world doesn't feed you good things. You're full of mirth. You're full of folly. You're full of madness. And those things bring about confusion, depression. But the world wants you to think that your life's purpose is to acquire things that you want. Everything that you want in your heart, the world tells you, go after it. It's okay. You should have it. You should have it, Dan. Whatever you want. You guys are really familiar with chapter 3, so I'm not going to read it. I'll speak a little bit of it. Chapter 3 is about time. Everything under the sun, again, has a cycle. It has a beginning and an end. The earth continuously rotates. The sun comes up, goes down, continuously. The moon, it orbits around. But the grass grows, it springs up, and then it dies off. The flowers bloom, and the blooms are gone. Man is born, man dies. There's a time for everything. How many of you understand time? There's 24 hours in a day, right? There is 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute, right? What more is there to understand about time? I thought about this, and I thought, see those little ones back there? When they get up in the morning, that day lasts. It's like, man, it's 3:00. This day is taking forever, right? Then you have somebody 25, 30 years old. They're kind of like, time, you know, time. It's kind of that flat line where it really does, they don't really notice time. Then you start getting up in age and you have kids and you get up in the morning, you rise at 5:30, you go out, next thing you know, you're just finishing that first cup of coffee, and you look up and you go, oh, it's 3:00, wow, where'd the day go? Time changes as we grow older. So how do we understand time? Time is a battle every day. Time seems to be a battle. It's something that I struggle with. Finding enough of. I'm sure everyone could say the same thing. Maybe not. Maybe you have peace with time. I don't seem to have peace with time. So, chapter 4. I'm not going to read it either. I'll just preface it a little bit. This is when Solomon, the preacher, is starting to come to an understanding that we have labor and we have troubles. It's better we labor together than alone, strength in numbers. So he goes about explaining this, and what I took from it was, it's better that we are together and we labor together. Right? Because when a trial comes against us, when an adversary comes against us, this number that we have here is greater than the one adversary that comes at us. We have confidence. We have courage because of our numbers, because of our like minds and thoughts and desires. Those numbers are greater and more beneficial. The fact that we each labor in our lives, that's a fact. It's a fact. Labor is getting up in the morning. Labor is feeding yourself, right? That's work. Those are things. We all face those things. And we are all going to face troubles. Chapter 5. Verses 1 through 8. He's warning us to watch what we say. Right? Don't be quick to speak. Think about what you're going to say. Make sure that if you make a promise, you fulfill it. Do your best to do just that. If you say something and you do it, and no man sees it, what does it profit you? It's a good work, right? But no one saw you do it. Solomon tells us in the first 8 verses there that, yeah, God sees all. It doesn't matter that Randy sees me do good work. Okay? God saw me do good work. I made a promise to my God, and I have to follow after that. I have to uphold that covenant that I made with my God. It doesn't matter whether Dan sees that I'm doing that or not. Right? It's glorious when my brothers see and say, good job, good work. But it doesn't have to be that way. Understand that God is always watching. Starting at the 9th verse. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. Once again, he's coming about to a realization, or he's making a statement that Tim eats corn from the field, and so does he. You know, the king is fed from the things of the earth the same as Brad and Libby and every one of us. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You ever seen that? You ever seen someone that has so much but can't stop getting things? 11. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owner? Thereof saving the beholding of them with their eyes. It's hoarding. It's gluttonous. It's Pat, you got a set of wrenches in your truck. And you know, you think, well, you know, maybe I should put a set of wrenches in Michelle's car too. Because maybe she breaks down and I can't get there and I send Brad. Well, okay, so I know Brad doesn't have wrenches in his truck, but when he gets there, he'll have wrenches because, right? That's not gluttonous. That's thinking ahead, right? Gluttonous is I have a set of wrenches in every vehicle, and I have 10 more on the shelf in the garage, right? Right? Pat's going, yeah. No, it's a fact. What happens to those? What happens to those 10 sets of wrenches? Nothing. They don't get used. The purpose that they were made doesn't come to trueness. They just sit on the shelf. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Feels good to sit, lay down at the end of a hard day's work, right? You get a good night's sleep that way. Whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. but those riches perish by evil travails. And he beggeth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. You know, when I read this, I kept thinking, what? You know, it's evil travail to have an overabundance, to be a hoarder, to be gluttonous. Why is that? Because evil will seek you out. Those without, when they see someone with much, who's their target? Yeah. He's worried about losing his things to someone who doesn't, a thief, right? It's added stress. It's unnecessary stress. If he had what he needed and let it be, he wouldn't be worried about it. But since he has 10 extra sets of wrenches, he's stressed that the neighbor kid is going to see that he has 10 extra sets of wrenches and just come help himself. It's an added stress, an undue stress. Evil things happen to those who are gluttonous. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he beggeth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb naked, shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? So I read that too, and I thought, labored for the wind? I mean, if you're a rich man and you have everything that you need, and then you have everything you want plus some, and you just can't stop getting and wanting, eventually you're going to try and, you know, the example is, you're going to try and attain something that is unreachable. I know, we tame the wind all the time, right? In scientific terminology, we tame the wind, right? We use it for power. But no, can you grab the wind? Can you grab a hold of the air and physically hold it in place? No. That's where this gluttonous leads us. The want of things, the need to have more, the need to continually collect. At some point, you'll have more than you need, and you'll still want, you'll still need. It's an addiction, right? It's just like doing drugs. You do a little, and then you got to do a little more, and you do a little more. Alcohol, you drink a little bit, then you got to drink a little more, to keep yourself satisfied. That's where he's going with this. This is what he's telling us. He's talking about our labors under the sun, what we do in our lives every day on earth, right? Behold, 17. All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Now, what do you think that means? What do you think that is telling us? What do you think Solomon is letting us know? Dan, when you work hard and you repair a violin or a cello, or you actually build them, right? From scratch? No. You do some repairs that are reconstructive. Right. And when you're done doing that, the customer that you did that for, what do?
Give you money.
They give you money. And then what do you do with that money?
Buy food for my family.
Okay. Exactly. Do you have joy in that? That you have the ability to do that?
Absolutely.
That's what he's saying. He says, go to work every day. Make your wage. Take care of yourself. And feel good about the fact that you can do that. That's your portion. That's your joy. Right? I feel great that I have been blessed with the job that I have. sometimes I go to work. Sometimes I just sit around the house and work. But I'm working hard. At the end of the day, I'm worn out. And you know, at the end of the day, or at the end of the bi-weekly period, and I get that paycheck, I go, you know, yeah, there was some extra stress in there that I didn't really want to deal with. But at the end of that time, I have made a wage that puts food on my table and a roof over my head. And occasionally, it also gives me the opportunity to give someone else something, to help someone else. Not going to read chapter 6, but I'm going to ask you a question. Actually, I'm going to make a statement first and then ask a question. So in chapter 6, I'm just going to, this is what my commentary from chapter 6. We spend all our time from birth to death taking what God provides and seeking to acquire more, right? I mean, it's just human nature. Dave Ramsey once said, you know, young people grow up in a house, and when they leave the house, they expect to start where their parents are at that point. You know, you start out and you build up. You're always acquiring more. You're doing more. You're growing. You're actually growing your wealth. And that's normal. That's what we do. We're humans. We want to do these things to make a better life for the next generation. Well, then our kids take that and they want to start there. They don't want to go through any of those struggles, and they want to go. You know, they see what they've acquired while they were young people living in your home. Well, they want to take that and they want to build on that and they want to grow more, right? I mean, truthfully, that's what we do. That's human beings. That's how we live. We take what we've been given and we always work to get more. It's normal. It's okay. Are we satisfied? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with what you have acquired, what you can do with what you've acquired? It's a simple question. Are you satisfied? I think I am. But you know what? Since COVID hit, I have done more internet shopping just because I'm bored. I've acquired quite a few things. Pretty cool things, too. Things that I've always thought I could use. And honestly, I may someday get to use these things. Jesse laughs at me. Yeah. Chapter 7. Starting at the first verse. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Wow. I don't know. I think that I celebrate a baby's birth. That's a glorious day. Right? A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. I take from this that he's looking at this like, here's a baby, he's done nothing. He's cute, he's cuddly, he's sweet, he spits up, he makes a mess. Here's a baby, he's done nothing. But in my life, I have acquired the things I need, I have done the things I should, and I've gained a reputation, a name that when people hear my name, they go, oh, yeah, I know that guy. He and I did this. He helped me do this. They don't hear your name and say, oh, yeah, I could tell you a story about that guy. You know, and then when you pass and they hear, your name and the fact that you've passed. There's more glory in having that good name than owning some expensive item. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is in the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. If I'm just out for laughs and a good time all the time, eventually I'll find that I have no peace. What happens when we're mourning or in mourning or sorrowful about something? We find a quiet place. We reflect, we commune with God. We commune with ourselves. We look inward. We find peace. There's wisdom in that. There's knowledge in that. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is laughter of the fool. This is also vanity. And I thought about that. If I threw a bunch of sticks in the fire and they had thorns in them and it starts popping, you know, they're not burning. They're just heating up and popping, and they're not really doing anything. They're not beneficial to the fire. They're not helping that pot boil, are they? No. And that's the point he's making. A fool, there's no goodness in a fool's laughter, in his follies, in his madness. There's no purpose to that. There's no peace in that. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other. God has placed a balance in our world. You know, we worry about there's good and there's bad, evil and righteous. God set a balance in this world. Consider that in your thoughts. Consider that when you're worried about something or thinking about something that seems tragic. To the end that man should find nothing after him, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. We see that, don't we? We often think, oh, wow, he's a good man. And that was a tragic loss. And then we see people that are acting out in violent ways. And time goes by, and then they're this popular person. They're somebody of wealth and stature in our world. And you're like, wow, we lost such a good man. But now we have this person that he's made his profit on evil and violence. How can that be? How can God allow that? Jump down to verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not one of us that walks this earth that is not a sinner. You and I know that. We say that all the time. I am but a sinner. 21. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. He's admitting that he's taken his whole attention and made it his purpose to actually find out and experience all of these things, trying to gain more wisdom and more knowledge. Chapter 8. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom marketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? We question authority. That's what he's talking about, questioning authority. It's good to question authority. It is. In these days, you might have been beheaded, but, you know. Today, we see a lot of people questioning authority. It's not all good, but for the most part, yeah, it's a good thing to question authority. If you don't agree with it, question it peacefully. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. I have a little note here. We fight time. We do. Like I said, time is a battle for me pretty much every day. It is. And I think that that time can be a battle in each one of our lives. But through that, I mean, we see here that we're going to suffer misery. We're going to have problems in our life. Good men endure evil. We do. There's no question about it. We see it. We experience it. We don't want to. We don't enjoy it. How we go about facing those things, that makes a difference. You go up a verse or two, and he says, keep the commandment. Hold to the commandment. You may question authority. You're going to face troubles, but hold to the commandment. For he knoweth not that which shall be for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. This is a question that gets brought up a lot, especially with your young people. How can God let that happen to such a good person? Right? If there's a loss in a young person's life, you know, it happens. God set a balance on earth, and unfortunately that balance sometimes overlaps. And that's the best way I can think of to explain that. A good man is killed by an evil person. Why did God let that happen? Sometimes an evil person receives a great blessing from someone, a righteous man or woman. Shows him mercy, shows him grace. Why? Why would you do that? He's an evil man. He's a violent man. Why not just take him out? It's not God's way. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? There's a balance. There's a balance to life, and unfortunately they overlap. Evil takes good. Good serves evil. And I better clarify that. Good isn't serving evil. Good is being righteous in the sight of evil. Is that better? That's better? Okay. Yeah. Glad I caught that. Verse 17. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. God's knowledge is endless. The things of this world are just seemingly endless. And to think that you're going to become wise to all things is vanity. It's worthless. That word vanity in all of these scriptures, it means lack of worth, without purpose. There is a purpose in having wisdom. There is a purpose in seeking knowledge. There is a purpose in that. You get that from God. He gives you what He wants you to have. But seeking out everything, being that gluttonous, that riotous man, that wealthy man that thinks that he can acquire wisdom and continue acquiring wisdom to the point that he is God, is worthless. Right? That's what he's... That's the realization that I read here, that I get here, that Solomon is saying, I put myself at labor to find out everything. And at this point he says, that's vanity. I have a great amount of knowledge and wisdom, greater than those who came before me. Am I satisfied? Chapter 9, verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all there is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. To the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go, to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. They have no more earthly joy, no more earthly labor. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of the vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Go about your daily life. Work hard. Have a house. Have food on your table. Share with those who are in need. Labor. Take joy in it. Because those are all gifts from God. Verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One sin destroys good. We attain to gaining wisdom, and we turn around and we sin, and Dead files cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Again, wisdom is ruined. Here we are, the apothecary's ointment. A fly is in it. It's ruined. Our life's work, our life's labor to be close to God, to do what is good and right, to provide for our families, and then we turn around and we do something that's unworthy of God's grace or God's mercy. We crucify our Savior by sinning. Verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Yeah. I can see myself back in my day. Just blah, 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 blah. Doesn't mean a thing. Right? I mean, look at little kids sometimes. They're just blah, 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 blah. What'd you say? I have no idea. Right? As little children, it's what we do. But as adults, our foolishness, it says it'll swallow you up. What is it that we were told when we were young? You lie once, and then you kind of got to lie again to cover that lie, and, you know, it's just eating you up. It's just taking up more time and effort than it would be to just tell the truth. Verse 17, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Pretty simple statement. You have what you need, you take it, you use it the way it's supposed to be used, and you don't become gluttonous, you don't become a hoarder, you're not looking to acquire things that you don't need and acquire more things than are attainable. Life isn't about that. Chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. There's facts. Absolutely. That cloud's not just going to float around full of water just continually. At some point, it's going to be so full, it can't hold itself anymore, and it's going to rain. He's stating facts. When the tree falls down, it fell on my Volkswagen. No, it didn't. No, it fell on your house. No, I'm looking at it. It fell on my Volkswagen. They're facts. It fell down. That's where it is. That's what happened. In our life, there are facts. That's what happened. This is the way it is. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. For they shall be many, all that cometh is vanity. Common sense. There are things you're not going to go out. You know, he's saying you're not going to go out and sow your seeds. You're not going to throw seeds when it's real windy, right? Why? Because they're just going to blow away. Or they're going to be scattered in places you don't want them, right? You're also not going to go out in the field when it's raining because it's muddy, and in this day and time, your tractor's going to sink. Right? It's just common sense that you don't do these things. He's saying, use your head. Think about things. Right? The sun is sweet. We're going to live many days. Rejoice in them all. Reflect, though, on the trials in your life so that you don't repeat them. Right? I don't ever want to go back to the way I was before. I don't ever want to use those things again. I don't want to feed myself with those nasty, evil things. Right? That's something that I reflect on. That keeps me from falling back into old habits, from putting back on that old man. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. You know, yeah, have joy. Follow your own path. And in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Make wise decisions. Follow that path. Have a goal. Reach that goal. But if it's not the right goal and that wasn't the right path, understand that you will be judged for that. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I won't read the Ephesians reference that I have. We're going to jump into chapter 12. A couple of short readings here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. We all come to an end. We all are going to return unto our Heavenly Father. And I tell you what, I'm just going to, it's funny that I had been thinking about these. I had kind of looked into these prior to our little mini teen camp last weekend. And our brother, Donald Gill, in several of our conversations in the cabin time, one of the young men would say something, and it was a great answer. How does that profit your salvation? How is that going to be applied to your soul and your salvation? And I thought, that's exactly right. All of these things that this preacher, that Solomon is saying, is vanity. You know, our labors are vain. He's right. When you think of it that way, me having a job and putting a roof over my head has nothing to do with my salvation. Nothing. It puts me in a better place to do the work of the Lord. It makes me more comfortable. But truly, the roof over my head has nothing to do with my work, my path, my ability to work to be saved. 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Absolutely. All those cool, neat things I've been buying, they're vain. Absolutely vain. It is. But I did it. And if it's a sin, I'll face that. Today, our brother Glenn, in his sermon, said he was going to read out of Isaiah. I flipped my book open, and it opened to chapter 61. And I have verses underlined, and it caught my eye, and I read it, and I was like, I'm going to use those verses to close with tonight. And then a couple minutes later, after he'd been in chapter 29 and this chapter there, he goes, let's go to chapter 61. And I love those first verses that he read there. He read those. I'm going to read something different though. But yeah, I really like those, that first verse where the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Yeah, that's a great verse. But I'm going to actually read verses 8 through 11 as my closing reading, and I thank you all for hanging in there with me. I know it was lengthy. We are in Isaiah chapter 61, 8th verse. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Do you believe that you have made a covenant with your Lord and Savior, your Heavenly Father? Do you think that do you feel that he's agreed to a contract with you? Yeah. I feel I have a contract with him, and I honestly worry daily that I'm not fulfilling my end of that contract. 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Our God. He has a plan. It's his plan. It's not our plan. It's his plan. Are you satisfied with it? Thank you very much. And again, help. I need a title.